We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Keeping It Real with former NFL wide receiver and Auburn University standout, Jairus McIntyre. Are you ready to hear it live from the athletes, celebrities, and fans? Jairus, his co-hosts, and his guests will keep you laughing, thinking, and talking. Now, here's your host, Jairus McIntyre.
What's going on, world? We are back on Keeping It Real. I'm your host, Jairus McIntyre, with my co-host, Ron Mack, in the building. A big, big weekend of football, college football, NFL football, to go along with Major League Baseball. Not coming towards the end, but getting closer to this World Series and these playoffs. And the NBA season, starting training camp with the L.A. Lakers show, about 30 days away from starting off their season. Game one, October 30th. So what, 29, 28 days, whatnot. But looks like this is the thick, and this is about the best time of year, I say, for sports because, you know, yeah, you're going to have basketball starting up, and baseball's coming to the end, the exciting part of baseball, which, you know, I like, not the long, long regular season. So, and then obviously football, it will be in the thick of football season. So I think this is the best time of the year for sports in general, just overall. So it's going to be an interesting couple of months just to kind of see what the Lakers are going to do, what Miami can do, what's going to happen with those New York Jets and Tim Tebow and them not scoring, what's going to happen with the Auburn Tigers playing Arkansas this weekend with them being very, very down and out. So hopefully we can come out victorious or we'll look very ugly. A lot of things. Geno Smith passing for 8 touchdowns in one game and becoming, you know, starting the discussion to being the number one overall pick over Matt Barkley. Only time will tell. He has 20 touchdowns and no interceptions through 4 games. So a lot of things going on in the world of sports. Ron Mack, I wanted to ask you, we'll get to the Geno Smith conversation here in a minute, but I wanted to ask you, first and foremost, with these New York Jets, getting blown out by a great team in the San Francisco 49ers. Tebow not really being used in this offense as of yet. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, they've been doing Mark Sanchez for the last 2 or 3 years. You have Tebow as the backup, which people know. You know, they say what they say about him. He can't throw. He can't do this. He can't do that. But he wins. The Jets are 2-2, so there's no time to panic right now. But. I mean, what are you thinking about in that situation? Because I know that's a hot topic of sports right now is Tebow being a backup and Mark Sanchez not really delivering for the Jets, man. What do you just have to say about that?
Well, I think I've said it before, man. The day that the Jets went out and made the trade for Tim Tebow, Mark Sanchez should have started to sit out of camp, and you really should have got himself traded because – With Tebow on that roster and in that city and the style of football that Rex Ryan likes to play with defense and strong running game, they could really just start Tebow. And everybody will be happy except Mark Sanchez. So I could kind of see this situation coming. It's a little early, I think. It's a little early for it to happen. And I still think the Jets are in a decent position because you got Ryan Fitzpatrick, he over there throwing. He done thrown 8 interceptions already. You got Tom Brady. They done started 2-2. So everybody is close over there. You know, Miami dropping games that they probably should win. So the division is still real close over there. So I think it's a little early, but you can see the Tebow mania coming.
But why, Mac? When you get blown out in a timely,
San Francisco is good.
The way that
they didn't.
The
they
Jets
have
did
their wide receiver threat.
34-0. I mean 34-0, not scoring a point in an NFL game. I mean, when you have great field goal kickers and playmakers, I mean, not to score a point in an NFL football game is very, very bad. So I think that's more of what everybody's saying now. I mean, does that make it any different?
Nah, San Francisco has the best defense in the league. That's what the experts say. You know, they got the best defense in the league. You know, the Jets aren't setting the world on fire with their play calling either. So, I mean, like I said, man, anybody and everybody saw the Tebow mania happening. You could see it coming. I just didn't think it would happen this soon.
I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, with Tebow, it's always going to be a conversation. I just think that they should put him in there right now.
Mark Sanchez has been to the AFC Championship game, J-Mac. So you're going to bench Mark Sanchez, who's making all these millions of dollars, for Tim Tebow, who can't complete a 15-yard out?
It's always going to be. It's always, and like you said, that's kind of crazy how they made that trade, because it's always going to be some type of conversation of Tebow if he's there, you know?
Yeah. It's sad, but like I said, Mark Sanchez should have stood up in the beginning. If he had stood up in the beginning and, you know, wouldn't have been so friendly and so warm to the idea, then he would either A, be somewhere else and they would have Tebow, or B, they would have, you know, this wouldn't be happening right now. So,
yeah, I think, you know, I mean, yeah, that's true. Something else I want to talk about, obviously we talked about before we got on air, and we had a little friendly wager or whatnot. Geno Smith, he has 20 touchdowns. I think they're 4-0. 20 touchdowns so far this season, passing. Over 1,800 yards passing this season. 20 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Very physical, very big physical stature. Athletic, mobile quarterback who has been, you know, put up big numbers last year. He's going to put up big numbers this year.
Yeah.
And I know in NFL circles, they have who they want to pick. They have this, they have that. But I think that he will overtake Matt Barkley as the season goes on, with the numbers he's putting up, with the numbers he put up last year. Andrew Luck did go over RG. He did get drafted over RG3, and they did say that they did say that Andrew Luck was the best quarterback prospect since John Elway. Regardless of that, he was going to be picked first. And yes, they are saying Matt Barkley is the top overall draft, prospect, Heisman front runner. But I truly believe this year that Geno Smith will be the front runner, and he is the front runner for the Heisman, and will win the Heisman, and also be the first overall pick. I say that Matt Barkley is very capable of being a first overall pick. Obviously, came from a pro style system. Kiffin and his father have been in NFL circles. They know NFL GMs and things of that nature. But from what I see, and just looking at it from the arm strength to the efficiency, to being able to, you know, elude defenders, this is more of a no-brainer to me than the RG3 aspect, you know, because RG3 obviously is not, he's 6'2", you know, and he can run, and he put up crazy numbers, and he was at Baylor, but this guy, Geno Smith, is, you know, his physical stature, he's a big, big prone to typical size quarterback with those numbers, and he's not fighting. Yes, he's fighting against Matt Barkley, who had a lot of hoopla, but they didn't tap him as the best prospect since Elway. So I think it is more. He has way more of a chance to overtake that first overall draft pick than Matt Barkley. And I know you don't believe that because of, for whatever reason, you may not believe that, but looking at the way this guy, from looking at this guy play the quarterback position, I don't see it. And if it happens, then that will be something that the GM will regret and not picking him, because he has everything that you want in an NFL quarterback, from his release to him being intelligent, to him being mobile, to him having an arm, because he's not just a runner. He's not a runner. I mean, he's actually a passer first. So he's going to be the first overall pick and will win the Heisman. 1,800 yards, 20 touchdowns, no interceptions in the first four games. Yes, a lot of football to be played, but hell, if he averages, one to two touchdowns a game for the rest of the year, including the bowl game, I mean, we're looking at 35, 40 touchdowns and hopefully a small number of interceptions with at least 4,000, maybe 5,000 passing yards on the pace that he's on. So, and in the Big 12 as well. I mean, it's, obviously RG3
is in the Big 12 as well. Well, the first thing they're going to say, the experts are going to say, that he is a system quarterback. So those numbers are skewed. Now, Matt Barkley out there with the best two receivers in the country can't put up these kind of numbers because he plays in a pro-style system, when Geno Smith is putting up video game numbers, and he has top-flight wide receivers. But it's going to be a system thing. And Matt Barkley would have been tapped as the number two quarterback last year if he had entered the draft. The experts would have chosen Matt Barkley over RG3. So with that being said, I think Geno Smith wins the Heisman, and I think Geno Smith is the second quarterback taken in the NFL draft. And people can say it's the system. People can say they can make up all kind of excuses for what it is. But Ron Mack here on Keep It Real going to tell you what it is. He's black. He's a black quarterback, and they're going to pick Matt Barkley over him. It's just how it is. That's just the way it is.
I hear you. And I think last year, yeah, because Matt Barkley had a superior season last year at Southern Cal. But I think
they lost four games.
No, I understand that, but his numbers were great. And I think he made that next step to be that top flight quarterback. So everybody was on him and like, oh, this, he's finally become who we thought he was going to be at high school. Whereas now it's kind of looking back at it like, okay, he is that kind of player, but he has some flaws. And that's the thing about coming back to the game of college football. They're going to nitpick everything now, like they did Matt Lyon. They're going to nitpick. Is his arm really that strong? Is he really 6'4"? In the big time games, is he able to make the proper decisions to help his team? So now they're nitpicking everything, and that's going to be to his default because he came back, and they're going to nitpick everything to see, is he that superior? Is he that Andrew Luck? Is he that, John Elway type of prospect? And they're going to see that he's not. And I think with Geno Smith and the numbers he's putting up, they're going to be like, hey, RG3, yeah, was a system quarterback at Baylor for through his years there. But this guy is too. But if we adapt our system to him, a la Cam Newton, a la RG3, then he going to be successful in the National Football League. And that's what's going to happen. And that's what the NFL coordinators are doing now. If you look at, Washington, they're adapting the system. You look at Carolina, I mean, they're running a college offense. They're running a re-option in the National Football League. Obviously, they're 1-3 now.
Carolina's stupid, too. I'm glad you brought them up. If you have arguably the most physical quarterback to ever play in the National Football League, and you have a fourth and a half a yard, and this guy's 6'6", he's hella athletic, and he's your best player. Why would you not put the game in his hands instead of putting the game into the hands of your defense that is garbage? I think after Sunday, if I would have been the owner of the Carolina Panthers, I would have fired Ron Rivera. That was the stupidest thing I saw all weekend.
And fired Ron? Well, first and foremost, Cam Newton fumbled. If he gets that yard,
it's okay. That's even more of a reason to give him that chance to redeem, to give him that chance for redemption. There was no way in hell the Atlanta Falcons would have stopped Cam Newton in his hometown on the fourth and one, fourth and half of a yard, if he up on the center in the quarterback's knee. All he would have had to do was dive over the top, stick the ball out, bring the ball back in, game over. You kneel the next two or three downs, and the game is over.
But Ron Mack, he fumbled before that.
Don't matter. He's your best player, Jay Mack.
Yeah, but we can say what we want. But at the end of the day, Ron Rivera gave him the opportunity to get that yard, to be Superman Cam, which he's always been, which he never, we never saw anything like that at AU, at Auburn University. And he gave him the opportunity to be Super Cam, and he fumbled. You always give your superstar a second chance. But at that particular time, he's like, you know what? I'm going to punt this ball. I'm going to pin them. No. Yeah, I would pin them. So to think that you would have to go however many yards to win this football game, you would never think in a million. And I put that on the safety. I put that on the DB. No, you can't put that on the coach.
Because the DB should have never got back on the field, Jay Mack. It's fourth and a half a yard.
But my point is, if you punt and pin them, if you punt and pin them at the one, at that particular time, Ron Rivera looked like the coach of the year. And that was a great decision. That means they got to go 99 yards or however, 70 yards to get a field, whatever they had to do to win that game. And less than however many seconds or however long it was. So, to me, I'm not going to take the chance to, have something happen and they get the ball at midfield, and I'm going to punt the ball to them, and I'm going to make them drive 70 yards with my NFL defense, with Charles Johnson, who we just paid, who's had a hell of a game this far, knowing they're going to pass the ball. I'm going to let him pin his ears back and get to Matt Ryan. So I don't put that on Rivera. I put that on, yes, you fumbled, and safety, you didn't make a play. Because the coach put them in position to make the play. I mean, if Cam gets that 1 yard, don't fumble, game over. So really, before you say, Rivera, you're out of here, and that was a stupid call, Rivera, you gave your team a chance to win this football game, and the players took that off. Cam got to get that 1 yard, hold on to the ball, and that safety has to play over the top and make the play. A DB. I mean, but it was a Hail Mary. I mean, hell of a catch by Rodney White. Matt Ryan, hell of a throw, but that shouldn't ever happen in a National Football League game because you got that safety over the top to make a play. So it is what it is, and they're 1-3. But my point was they changed their entire offense to adapt to what Cam Newton's strengths are and running the ball, play action, read options, and things of that nature. So I think they will do that for Geno Smith, and they are doing it for RG3. And we talk about the black quarterback, but if you're the black quarterback and you're athletic and you can throw, you're going to get drafted high, and they're going to put you in there. So, we can say it, and it's been like that over the years, but I think we're at a point where, hey.
Can I ask you a question?
I think we're at a point where, forget the color. If you in there and you can play, you're going to be the quarterback, and we're going to use your abilities because we need to win games and save jobs. That's what I think.
Okay. Tony Romo threw five interceptions last night.
Tony Romo threw five interceptions last night.
But I've always said this, Romo.
Black quarterback that could do that.
Whoa, Romo is Romo. They got something going on out there in Dallas. I mean, Romo is Romo. I don't know if Jerry sees something that we don't see, but they got something going on in Dallas. And I'm not going to say if it was any other color quarterback or anybody else, they got something on there. If Tony Romo is good for throwing five interceptions, then next week he'll come back and throw five touchdowns. And then the next week he'll come back and be, you know, so that is Tony Romo. That has been his career. And I don't know how long they'll let him do that, but every time I say that, you look up and it's 3-4 years later and Tony Romo is still the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. So I think that Jerry Jones is going to allow him to do that until either he wins a championship or he's 40 years old. And they say, you know what, Romo, you're too old. We're going to, you know, fire your parent. But I can say a couple of those interceptions were on the wide receivers. You know, Dez Bryant's supposed to be a superstar or was drafted to be that Michael Irvin kind of receiver, dropped plenty of balls, made, you know, wrong reads on his routes, and he hurt Romo a lot. So it's not all on the quarterback. Offensive line got a block better. It's definitely not all on Romo. I mean, so, yeah, he threw five picks, and that's in the stat sheet, but when they go in there and watch the film today, they're going to see two or three of those were on the wide receivers. So, you know, but it is what it is. Quarterback, it's a quarterback stat, and that's what it is. Jay Cutler, to me, is the same kind of quarterback. He had a great game last night, but who knows, next week he might be, you know, yelling at the coach, yelling at the players, calling 4, 5, and 7. So, if that's what you want, then that, you know, that's what it is. I mean, you, if you get in the playoffs and you got quarterbacks like that, they can get on a roll and play those 5-touchdown, 4-touchdown quarter, you know, passing games, then you might find yourself in a Super Bowl. But the way Romo and Jay Cutler play, they may play two good, then they may play one bad. They may play one good and one bad. And if you're doing that, you're not going to make a Super Bowl push, because you got to play, you know, two or three games in a row consistent with, you know, obviously with good defense to make it to the Super Bowl. And I think that's the difference between Aaron Rodgers and the Drew Brees and the Peyton Manning and Eli in the playoffs. Like I said, in the playoffs, those kind of quarterbacks are consistent enough to where they're going to go on a 3 or 4 game stretches to where they throw 3 or 4 interceptions and maybe, you know, a couple, you know, 3 or 4 touchdowns and a couple of interceptions throughout those 3 or 4 games. And when you have a consistent quarterback like that, that's what makes them elite and Super Bowl MVPs. Whereas Tony Romo, he'll have a MVP kind of game or two, and then he'll go back and revert back to the old Jay Cutler or the old Tony Romo. And I think that's what's keeping the Chicago Bears and the Dallas Cowboys from being the team they can be, because they have the talent. They definitely have the talent. So we'll see as time goes on, but I just don't know how much time Jerry Jones is going to give Tony Romo. I mean, a lot of us wish we had all that time. I mean, us players that had opportunity in the NFL. I mean, if you can go out there, do good sometimes and do bad sometimes and still keep a job, then should be a lot of people still in the NFL, but it don't work like that. You got to be consistent day in and day out, and I don't see that from Tony Romo. But like I said, last night was a lot on the receivers, and they definitely got to help him out. So we will see. We shall see. And I don't know.
Well, how are you feeling about this Saturday morning's game with the Auburn Tigers and the Arkansas Razorbacks? How do you feel, J-Mac?
I think we should win, you know, just from seeing the way Arkansas has been blown out these last couple of weeks. But it is the SEC West, and you never know. But I feel good about the game. I feel good about our defense. Hopefully Kyle Frazier can step up and make some plays, and our receivers can make plays, and the running backs can do what they do. I feel great about our defense, though. I really, really do feel great about our defense. And it will be embarrassing if we lose. So I'm really, really hoping we win this game. I know I don't know what Arkansas is doing with this coach. I mean, he looks like
it would be embarrassing for Auburn to lose this game.
It would be embarrassing. So from the outcomes of their last couple of games, I mean, yeah, obviously Alabama has a great team and they beat them 52-0 or whatever to nothing. Somebody else put 50 on them. I want to say Texas A&M put 50 on them as well. And they beat them. They lost Louisiana Monroe. So yes, it would be embarrassing for Auburn to lose to a team who is so down, who's not good this year, who lost to Louisiana Monroe, who's 1-3, who season is pretty much in the dumps after the whole Petrino deal, and now they have John L. Smith, who's, I think, a lunatic. I don't know who in the hell ever hired that man to run their program as of now. I mean, I'm sure he was a coach, a good coach in his heyday, but now, I mean, from looking at these post-game press conferences and how he was at SEC Media Days and telling the media to smile. I'm like, where the hell did they sign this man at? And I said, no, he has some financial issues with him being bankrupt and or filed for bankruptcy and things of that nature. I'm just like, it's too much going on with him to be trying to lead some young men in winning football games. And they could have promoted somebody in-house when Petrino did what he had to do to be the interim head coach and then hire somebody this coming year, a big name this year. But, yes, it would be embarrassing for us to lose to Arkansas this year, yes. Arkansas has traditionally been a good SEC West team, but it would be embarrassing to lose this year to them at home. So I really hope that we're prepared, we're ready, because it would be embarrassing. And I think our defense is good enough to keep us in any game this year. So it's going to be on our offense to be able to, you know, produce some points and help us win the game.
Okay.
What you think, Ron?
Arkansas is 1-3. They have had problems on defense. But, hell, Auburn has had problems on offense.
Absolutely.
Arkansas's problem has not been their offense. Their offense is actually pretty good, which when you're playing Auburn, all you need to do is score two touchdowns. Because if you score two touchdowns, it's kind of not likely that Auburn's going to score two touchdowns. So I think this is one of those classic Auburn-Arkansas games that Auburn should win, you know, feeling good about them, and then they'll drop a game to Arkansas.
Yeah. I mean, I hope you're not.
I hope I'm wrong.
I mean, Ron Mack, I don't think I've ever heard you say Auburn's going to win a game.
Yes, you have. When we had Cam, I said we was going to win every game.
No, Ron Mack. I don't think you said that. I don't think you said that.
We got to keep it real. I've got to just go pull up some old tape every week. We going to win. Now? Hell no. I ain't finna say that. Arkansas lost 58-10 and had 600 yards of offense. They had 600 yards of offense, dog. We done played four games and we probably ain't got 600 yards of offense. So for me to come on keeping it real, and say Auburn should win this game. They should. It's at home. Arkansas down. They lost a coach. They in the dumps. Well, Arkansas got a good quarterback. They got good wide receivers. They have a good running back. They have a good offense. And if Arkansas scores 21 points against Auburn, it is no way you can get me to say while it's being recorded that Auburn's offense with Kyle Frazier and LaFleur can score 22 points to beat them. I just don't believe that right now. Now, hell, Arkansas defense, I hope they garbage. I hope all we got to do is run the ball down their throat.
and play action pass every now and again. But hell, even back when you played, J-Mac, there were some games when we should have beat Arkansas, and Matt Jones would pull a rabbit out his butt, and they'll beat us.
Yeah, but that was also a Houston Nut coach football team who was always hard nosed, who always was pretty talented, and were not at the bottom of the SEC West. I mean, through my years at Auburn, they were always in the middle of the SEC West, and a couple times they were contending for. So I know what you mean though, because Arkansas definitely they always have a team that you got to watch out for. I mean, they're never a pushover, and that's why I say hopefully it's completely different. You know, it's an early game, and hopefully we wake up and we're ready and ready to roll.
We don't do well in early games. That's another factor. For the longest time, that 11 o'clock start, 11:21 start, hell, Auburn don't wake up till 1 o'clock. But we shall see. Like I said, I hope we win. I'm kind of on the fence. I kind of feel like we should win, but this one here, I don't know. Ole Miss, I think we should beat Ole Miss. I watched Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss played above their head against Alabama this past weekend. I really feel good about the Ole Miss game because they're like us. They can't score, and our defense is better than theirs. Now, Texas A&M, OMG. Me and you talked last week before last, about some of the games that Auburn, can win. Texas A&M, I don't see it. I don't see it happening. I think we beat Vanderbilt. I think we beat Vanderbilt and Ole Miss this next month. I think we beat those two. I hope we beat Arkansas. If we beat Arkansas, we'll go 3-1 for the month of October. If not, if we don't beat Arkansas, then we'll go 2-2.
Will we beat Alabama?
Hell no. Or Georgia.
Damn. I mean, why are you so confident that we won't beat Alabama?
Because, J-Mac, Alabama they've kind of changed their offense. They are much better offensively than they have been in years. So, with that being said, their defense is still biting, like one of Michael Vick old pit bulls from Bad News Kennel. They biting. Alabama biting, man. And I just don't see it happening. Now, I don't see us beating Georgia. I think that Georgia-South Carolina game going to be real good this year week coming. Don't know who's going to win that one. I got to think on that a couple more days. But I kind of feel like Georgia has better quarterback play, and 9 out of 10, the team with the better quarterback play wins the game. So I'm leaning towards Georgia, but Alabama and Georgia, those are no-brainers. There's no way in the hell we're going to win those two games. And now, like I said, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, we should win. We should beat Arkansas with them being down and out. But, hey, Arkansas was a top 8 team in the preseason. Arkansas's AD is dumb. He should have suspended Bobby Petrino for 2 games and sucked it up because Arkansas can't do any better than Bobby Petrino. There's no coach out here that they can honestly get to be better for that program than Bobby Petrino.
They should have just kept Bobby Petrino.
You have to know your program's limitations. If Bobby Petrino is the best person you can get, why would you fire him and now you're gonna have to settle for a Tommy Tuberville or somebody like that to come to Arkansas, and hell, Tommy Tuberville, he okay, but he ain't no world beater. It ain't like he's not a top 10 coach in college football. When in Bobby Petrino, you had a top 10 coach. So, if you're gonna fire a guy, you gotta fire a guy because you got a guy out there that you can get that's going to do a better job than the guy you got. So Arkansas is stupid. They should have suspended Petrino for 2 games, and right now they'll be sitting at 3-1, getting ready to blow us out. Now they season on the brink. They season already busted. Even if they beat Auburn, they won't make a bowl. So
So, just kind of, you know, it's kind of bad. But offensively, they move the ball and they score. Teams that have beat Auburn this year, Clemson, offensively, they move the ball and they score. We lost. Mississippi State, they move the ball and they score. We lost. ULM, they move the ball, they score. We almost lost to a team that don't have half the talent that we got. LSU, they suck. They suck offensively like us. So, hell, that's a close game. Whenever Auburn plays somebody who sucks on offense like they do, it'll be a close game.
And we will see. We will see. I mean, hopefully we can get better as the weeks go along. I mean, offensively, Kyle Frazier shows some promise, but I think it's a mixture. I think it's a mixture of him getting adapted to a regular pro style offense and also getting comfortable in his personnel and his play calling and get everything in sync. Because it looks like it's not clashing, but it looks like he has to get comfortable, like I said, with his personnel and who he's using where. And Kyle Frazier has to grow up and get comfortable from being under center, not the shotgun, and learning the position in the SEC as we go. So, I mean, hopefully things can get better quickly throughout this season and let's not have to wait for, you know, a whole season and an off season, because that's not an excuse. I mean, we need it right now. So I think those are some of the things that we are dealing with right now at Auburn as far as the offense and the quarterback position, similar to what Jake Cam had to do. It seemed like every year of his college career as well as his NFL career, it's not easy to come in and learn new terminology and, you know, be under center and things of that nature, being a young quarterback to go along with it. So we got to, you know, players have to step up because, like you said, we got to put points on the board. I mean, if we could score one touchdown, we beat LSU. Yeah, and the season is looking way better. So we got to score. I mean, that's the name of the game, scoring touchdowns and stopping people from scoring touchdowns. And if we want to win the SEC, we got to stop some people. So it'll be interesting to see, man. It'll be very, very interesting to see what we can do.
That's why when the whole, you know, we're looking for an offensive coordinator thing came up, man. You know, your boy Ron Mack, he was hollering, you know, get somebody from Baylor. And to me, Baylor is the perfect example. Because Baylor lost RG3. They lost the number 2 overall pick in the draft. They come back with a quarterback that has never played anything other than garbage time. Baylor put up 56 points last week. That's play calling. That's an offensive coordinator being aggressive, trying to score. Baylor, you know, Auburn has made this transition, went under center, go back to power, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust football. We still ain't ran not one slant. We ain't ran one quick slant yet. We ain't ran no quick slants. We ain't, you know, we still, and if Kyle Frazier, to me, if you get somewhere and you're an offensive coordinator and you want to implement a system, and you got a quarterback, and he's been in the spread all his life. He's more comfortable in the shotgun. Then, hell, this year, in practice, we're going to work on that up on the center stuff. But when it comes game time, I got to make this guy comfortable so he can do what the hell I need him to do when it comes to reading the different coverages and going through his progression. So if I got to put him in the shotgun, and that's what the hell I need to do. I don't need to have Kyle Frazier dropping back. And, you know, they get on these little websites, well, my drop back is slow. Yeah, it's slow. Because, hell, he ain't used to doing it. So put him in the shotgun, what he's comfortable doing, and see if that works. The offense is not working. And since the offense is not working, there is no way that you're going to tell me that Tyler Wilson and Arkansas with them receivers and Niall Davis, you're not going to tell me they're not going to score 3 touchdowns this Saturday, which is 21 points.
All right. We got a caller on the line, former Auburn Tiger running back, Michael Owens. Michael M. Uzi. What's going on, Michael Owens?
Man, what's going on with you, J-Mac? What's going on with you, Pete?
Not too much, man. Not too much, man. Me and Ron Mack on the line, chopping it up, talking about Auburn football, man. And what have you seen so far this year with Auburn? I know we're off to a slow start. What have you seen so far with the Auburn Tigers, and what do you think we got to do to help us get better and win some more ball games throughout this year in the meat of our schedule?
Well, man, I tell you this, J-Mac, what I've been watching from our first SEC match against Mississippi State, of course, we had a lot of turnovers. We're young. That's good. I see that we're very young. That's number one. Number two, Auburn, man, when me and you played in the years to come and before us and after us, we were known for defense. And our defense is not as strong as it used to be, but we did show up against LSU. I think we just need time to mature. I think we need to come together as a team, because, you know, you got your – it looks like out there we got a lot of individuals right now looking to get their own glory and not to be as a team. I think once we get our young cats to know that, hey, man, we're a team, we can't win this thing by ourselves, and quit beating each other and pointing the finger at everybody when somebody make a mistake, then I think we'll come to a team and start winning some more ball games.
Ron Mack, is there anything that you want to ask M.O. about Auburn this year that you want to ask him to see what he thought of that we probably already talked about or that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, M.O., being that you were, you know, a first-class SEC, you know, running back, tell me your opinion on the current state of what we affectionately, us Auburn fans, call running back you. Tell me, what do you think of the backs that we have, and are they giving the right carries to the right number of carries to the right people? And give me your assessment of that.
Okay, well, Mac, I mean, coming from, you know, when we got there, you know, we had me, Ronnie Brown, Cornell Williams, Brandon Jacobs, Keith Evans, Rui Johnson. I mean, we had a different breed. I mean, Coach Eddie Grant came to us, and he told us, hey, you know, ain't nobody going to have – we're not just going to give the ball to one person. If you want to get on that field, you're going to have to show me what you got. And right now, I'm looking at our backfield, and it's looking like we're losing the hard-nosed football that we had in Auburn back in the days. I don't see no running back you right now. I don't even – I personally don't think we have a go-to guy. I mean, McCaleb, yeah, he's a heck of a runner. He's fast, but I mean, I see McCaleb more as a wide receiver. I don't see that we have that running back that, hey, I need that first and I need that 2 yards, or I need a game-winning touchdown for 60 yards. I don't think we have it yet. I don't know if we're having problems with the running back coaching, or I don't know if we're having problems with recruiting, but right now I don't see us having that hard nose, let's go get it, like we had in the late 90s, early 2000s. I don't see it personally being, like you said, being a running back coming from where I came from and who we had around. And, I mean, and also I also see the running backs that we had, we didn't care who got the glory. We all had fun, because if one of them had a 100-yard game, all of us had a 100-yard game. If Ronnie got hurt, Cornell picked it up. Cornell got hurt, you know, we all went together. We all came together as a camaraderie, as a team. And I don't see that right now on Auburn football.
Yeah, I think as time goes on and they match and they bond, hopefully the running backs out of there now, the younger guys, and then whoever comes in, we'll have that kind of bond, but you know, we had some very, very talented running backs when we were there. It's tough. I mean, we can recruit and we have recruited, but it's tough to have the kind of backs that we had at Auburn at one time on a football team. I mean, we're looking at, you know, first round draft picks, NFL Pro Bowlers. We had, you know, Mike Hughes, one of the top recruits in the state of Alabama. You and Cornell coming in, and so, you know, Rudy came from junior college. Ronnie came from Georgia. We even had, you know, some decent backs, like, you know, pretty good backs who could explode, like Cassinius out of Alabama, Cassinius Moore, and Trey Smith out of Florida.
I mean, you guys that people don't even talk about.
And see, what trips me out is, you know, a lot of people say that people, if your big name comes in and goes through that college, that is going to turn people away. The names that we brought in and the people, they see who we had already. Them guys didn't care about it. They wanted to bring a new tradition to Auburn. They were, you know, yeah, okay, Cornell signed. Okay, Ronnie could have went anywhere else, but Ronnie said, no, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to help run. I'm going to help Cornell. You know, when I signed, Cassinius and Reggie Tober didn't have to sign with me. Everybody wanted to come together and be on a winning team. And we went individual.
And we're still forgetting about the running backs like the Kenny Irons and the Ben Tates who came after after you guys that were you know, high round draft, second round draft picks that were still good. I mean, it's tough to say if they were on the level of the backs that we had at Auburn when we were there, but they were still very capable SEC backs, and Ben Tate is showing what he could do in the NFL now, being a 1-2 punch with Arya Foster, got in a great situation, and is showing the kind of running back that he is. So it's hard to live up to what the running backs at Auburn have done, and I think that we'll get back to it. I mean, obviously, you know, in the 80s and in the early 90s, we had it. It went away a little bit towards the end of Terry Bowden's tenure, but when Tud came in and saw recruiting, you know, our class, when you came in and Cassinius, and then once Ronnie came in, then Rudy, and then Lack, and then you know, Brandon Jacobs, and then Trey Smith, Kenny Irons, Ben Tate, all those guys. So, you know, it's back now, and hopefully, I mean, it came back, and it'll come back again. I just think it'll take time, and hopefully we can get this big-time recruit out of Virginia Green, and get that rolling and get some of these top backs that we already have on campus to produce, and we'll be all right. So only time will tell. I appreciate having Big M Uzi on the line. As always, co-host Ron Mack in the building. We out here same time next week. Talk about this victory. Auburn Tigers will get over Arkansas Razorbacks. We out of here, man. Next time, I'm keeping it real. Holla.
We made the road, Green.
Thanks for listening this week. Tune in to Keeping It Real with Jarris McIntyre again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Until then, keep it real, real, real. Keep it real.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.